Good evening. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this first Sunday of Advent, Year B. Our readings today, Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 to 9, Psalm 80, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. Let us pray. The Lord is here, His Spirit is with us. We need not fear, for His Spirit is with us. We are surrounded by love, for His Spirit is with us. We are therefore immersed in peace, because His Spirit is with us. And so we rejoice in hope, for His Spirit is with us. And we travel in faith, because God's Spirit is with us. Amen. Lord, we have come because You have called us. We have come in the name of Jesus. We have come to declare the Father's love. We have come because You are worthy. We have come because You are here. Lord, empower us with Your Holy Spirit to truly acknowledge Your presence and to worship You alone. Amen. Lord, we come to worship You with hope and joy. We ask that Your Holy Spirit will use our worship to prepare us for the coming of Jesus. May the words of Scripture that we hear and the words of hope that are proclaimed fill our lives with joy and give You all the glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, CPWI 48.
Come, Emmanuel.
We pray the collect for the first Sunday of Advent, followed by our parish prayer. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son Jesus Christ came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Waiting in Faith. Waiting in Faith. From time to time, whenever God's people found themselves separated from God and in trouble, they would cry out to God for help, for relief, for God's saving act. In our Old Testament lesson today from Isaiah 64 verses 1 to 9, the people of God utter a prayer from captivity in Babylon. They remember God's mighty works as they plead for God to come in power and glory. They pray, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles bushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nation might tremble at your presence." Isaiah 64 verses 1 and 2. This is a plea for God to intervene from heaven. They remember how the Lord shook Mount Sinai when Israel camped there on the way from Egypt to the land of promise. Exodus 19 verses 17 and 18. They prayed, "When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence." Isaiah 64 verse 3. They acknowledge that there is a special blessing for those who wait on the Lord. They affirm that those who wait on the Lord do good, and the Lord blesses goodness. However, they recognize that God detests sinners, as sin separates people from God. They acknowledge that God is angry with those who sin. The prayer continues. "You met those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways, but you were angry, and we sinned because you hid yourself, we transgressed." Verse 5. The prayer goes on to describe the state of sin of the people of God. Sin makes them unclean, unworthy of God's presence. In their state of sin, they are unclean, therefore they are not worthy to offer sacrifices to the Lord. In their sinful state, they are not worthy of God. They are weak and unstable. They have no power to resist temptations, and therefore are unworthy to call God's name. They conclude that in their sinfulness, God has hidden God's face from them. Their sinfulness has incurred the judgment of God. What therefore is left for them? They plead for mercy from the Lord. They say, Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Isaiah 64, verses 8 and 9. The people recognize that they are in a desperate place, and they need God's mercy because God's judgment condemns them. They plead to God as Father, a loving Father. They are aware that as Father, God will never totally disown his children. They plead to God as potter, knowing that a potter cannot disown the pot that he has made. It belongs to him as he created it. The people affirm that they are God's. God created them. God called them to be God's people. Good or bad, they belong to God. The people of God pray and wait in faith for God's response. How would God act? How would God respond to these sinful people? God eventually forgives them and restores them to their land. They eventually return to Judah and Jerusalem. They rebuild the temple and are in fellowship with God once more. In our psalm, Psalm 80, the psalmist reflects on the fact that the troubles that the people of God are experiencing appear to have no identifiable source except God's displeasure with them. The psalmist cries, Give ear, O shepherd, stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? Psalm 80, verse 1a and verses 3 and 4. The psalmist acknowledges that the people are suffering because of God's displeasure, and he cries for their restoration as God's people. You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Psalm 80, verses 5 and 6. On behalf of the people, the psalmist pleads for restoration. He writes, Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Verse 7. The psalmist ends with a commitment that if God acts, and God is expected to act with mercy, justice, and love, the people will be faithful to God. He writes, Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call your name. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Psalm 80, verses 18 and 19. The people waited in faith, and God acted. They were forgiven. The nation was restored and given hope for a future as God's people. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, Jesus is speaking of the time when the Messiah will return. Having completed his ministry of redemption and returned to the Father, Jesus assures his disciples that he will return. He acknowledges that there will be signs. False messiahs and false prophets will appear and produce signs and omens to lead astray, if possible, the elect. Be alert. I have already told you everything. But in those days, after that suffering, The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Mark chapter 13, verses 22 and 25. Jesus affirms that they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Verses 26 and 27. Jesus points out that about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Verse 32. He warns, therefore, beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. Verse 33. Jesus compares this event like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he will find you asleep when he comes suddenly. Matthew chapter 13, verses 34 to 36. Jesus gives the final warning. And I say to you all, keep awake. Verse 37. Since we do not know the day or the hour that the Son of Man will return to judge the living and the dead, we are invited to wait in faith. While we wait, we set our minds on the task that God has given us. Let us not put our hands to the plow and look back. Let us be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse chapter 15, verse 58. Let us therefore, as we wait in faith, continue to work in the vineyard, using the gifts that God has given us, and being watchful and vigilant, so we will be awake for the advent of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Tear open the heavens and come down, O Lord. Make known your name. Lord Christ, we look to your coming again. Come among us with mercy and judgment. When you come, may we be found prepared and ready to greet you with faith and hope. Set the heart of your church on your redeeming presence. Tear open the heavens and come down, O Lord. Make known your name. Lord Christ, we look to your coming again. Come among the nations with mercy and judgment. Keep those in government alert to your justice and peace. Expand the vision of your people to that of your eternity. Tear open the heavens and come down, O Lord. Make known your name. Lord Christ, we look to your coming again. Come among our communities and homes with mercy and judgment. Mold us as a potter shapes clay. We are the work of your hands and rejoice in your gift. Tear open the heavens and come down, O Lord. Make known your name. Lord Christ, we look to your coming again. Come among all who are ill with mercy and judgment. Give time to amend life and to be thankful for your love. Strengthen and hold them in the palm of your hand. Tear open the heavens and come down, O Lord. Make known your name. Lord Christ, we look to your coming again. Come among us at the hour of our death with mercy and judgment. Gather your faithful ones to your eternal home. Turn our tears into dancing. Tear open the heavens and come down, O Lord. Make known your name. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Hymn CPWI 41, Hark, a Trilling Voice is Sounding. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the costs, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. where there is doubt, faith, where there is despair, hope, where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God, by whose providence our Savior Christ came among us in great humility, sanctify you with the light of his blessing and set you free from all sin. May he whose second coming in power and great glory we await make you steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and constant in love. May you, who rejoice in the first advent of our Redeemer, at his second advent be rewarded with unending life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. We pray that as we continue to prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas, and more importantly, to prepare ourselves for his second coming, that you will have a rewarding and spirit-filled week. We end with the hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, CPWI 413.